Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Mia. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, so I'm Mia P. Manansala. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm an author and a book coach, born and raised in Chicago, living just outside the city now. I write cozy mysteries, and for people who are not familiar with that particular subgenre of mystery, I like to describe them as like Hallmark movies, but with dead bodies. Because like they are meant to be light and humorous. And yes, obviously there are, you know, it's crime fiction, so bad things happen. And I do tend to touch on some more serious subjects than some people would expect in cozy mystery, but there is, justice is always served. There's a happy ending, lots of delicious food and some laughs along the way. Or so I think. I like to think I'm funny, but you know.
I love it. You know, you were described, I had a couple of cozy mystery episodes because they're quite popular, actually. I'm surprised. And so your books were described as millennial cozy mysteries.
Yeah.
You know, they're for the millennials, you know.
Yeah.
So like they're a good gateway drug to this genre. So
Yeah, so
talk to us about your Tita's Rosie's Kitchen mystery. What's the series all about?
So my series follows a young Filipino American woman from a small Midwestern town just outside of Chicago, a fictional one, but and in the first book, my debut, Arsenic and Adobo, came out last year. And in that book, you know, I use Hallmark for a reason and rom-coms for a reason when I talk about cozies, because with that book, it was very much a coming home again kind of story after maybe your dreams kind of fail and you have to start over. So it follows this young 25-year-old woman who, you know, thought she'd left her small town, was trying to make it in Chicago. Things kind of end catastrophically for her. And she comes back home to lick her wounds. And is kind of tasked with helping her aunt. Tita means aunt in Tagalog. So Tita Rosie is her aunt. She, her parents are deceased. She was raised by her paternal aunt and grandmother. And so she's kind of tasked with like saving the family restaurant. And you know, in the first book, she kind of reconnects with her high school sweetheart, but because it's a murder mystery, not a romance, it's not a cute like second chance at love thing. He's actually the town's like vindictive food critic who's been trying to shut down her family's restaurant for a while. And so like one day, you know, mid meal, mid review, he passes out and dies, and she becomes the main suspect in his murder. And that's kind of like what kicks off the series. In book two, Homicide in Halo-Halo, it came out this past February. It's like a few months after the events of the first book, and she's actually kind of dealing with some of the issues from the fallout from the first book. She's, you know, she's doing her best, she's trying to move on, get her life in order. She's opened a brand new cafe with her besties, and you know, it looks like things are looking up, but the town's beauty pageant has come back, something that she has a long history with. And after the beauty pageant's head judge is murdered, her cousin slash frenemy, you know, kind of rival, is the main suspect in that judge's murder. So as much as she tried to like get away from that life, she's kind of pulled back again because, you know, even though they have a lot of friction, she still considers the person family. She wants to help them out. And it also looks like one of the girls in the pageant might be next, and she wants to do what she can to protect them. So she's thrust again into this world of murder mysteries, my poor 25-year-old cookie baker. But yeah, that's basically how the story starts.
All right, we got to talk about Filipino food, which is your favorite, you know, because Filipino food gets mentioned pretty much.
You know? Yeah, yeah, like my joking like tagline for this series is like family, food, and murder. You know, the important things in life. Yeah. So, was it just Filipino in general, or like, do I have a favorite? Let's, or
you have a favorite dish, first of all, because I love Filipino food, and I just wanted to like talk about it. And then, what's important to have Filipino culture within the Cozy Mysteries, because it's not normal, you know, like not normal. Like what is normal? It's not. It's actually like it's not representative, you know, mm-hmm. in the Cozy Mystery. Cozy Mysteries tend to be really white, you know, mm-hmm.
So for Filipino food, my favorite is one that it's a little bit of a hard sell when it comes to like a more Western palate, like if you didn't grow up with it, which is called kare kare. Mm-hmm. And if you are maybe familiar, like I heard someone kind of say, kind of reminded them almost like masaman curry, because it's a peanut based stew basically. Mm-hmm. And it has like oxtail and tripe and all these other things. And it's like a very like hearty, warming, comforting dish. And so like when I like that's one of the things that I turn to when I'm just like, oh, I really want Filipino food, but I really need comfort food in particular. Mm-hmm. That's a dish I really, really love. And why I turn to Filipino food, you know, as you mentioned, one, you called it earlier, people have referred to my books as millennial cozies, and you also pointed out how very white the cozy subgenre is. That's why I write it. You know, I'm Filipino American. I was born and raised in Chicago. My parents are originally from the Philippines. I grew up in a multi-generational household, like my protagonist. So I grew up with my mom's parents, my parents, me, my brothers, my cousins, aunts and uncles, and other family members were kind of coming through every once in a while, kind of like a typical immigrant household where, you know, sometimes people would come and they'd need a place to stay until they were stable and could strike up. My house was one of those houses. But I also didn't grow up with a large Filipino community. I grew up in an area called Hermosa, which is a majority Latina. Mm-hmm. And so my family was my community. My family was my connection to my Filipino identity. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was through the food, because they didn't teach me Tagalog. Like I can understand it when I hear it, because my parents and my grandparents would speak it to each other, but they didn't teach any of the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are these, you know, it's a common thing in the diaspora, like what ways that we try to learn about or cling to our culture. And food is probably one of the easiest ones to understand and one of the most common ones. And food is one of my favorite things in the world. You know, I always say like if eating could be considered a hobby, it's like my number one hobby. But, you know, Cozy Mysteries, it's my mom's favorite genre to read. She's the one who introduced me to it. It's one of my favorite things to read as well. You know, I'm not going to write in something I don't actually enjoy reading. That's a little, I don't know why anyone would do that. So, you know, for years and years of reading Cozy Mysteries with little to no diversity or, you know, no characters that really reflected me or my experiences or the people that I knew or the world I saw around me, I knew I wanted to put my own spin on the genre.
Mm-hmm. And you made your own spin. I think in some ways you're breaking barriers of like opening up the doors for more, you know, Black, Brown, Indigenous voices to come in, you know, immigrant voices to, you know, to write in this genre, you know, that itself, like, it's just proved, like, people are interested in this, like, you know, and that people are thriving, you know, mm-hmm. By, you know, getting an escape, but at the same time realizing, like, oh, like, Cozy Mysteries can be true, you know, full of healthy. You know?
Yes.
Like, and it can feature like, you know, murder mystery with a large family, you know. Mm-hmm. So I love this. So what kind of genre you mentioned you read cozies. Is there any other genre you tend to gravitate that you tend to read?
Mystery in general, of course. Like I've been a huge mystery fan my whole life. You know, as I mentioned, I grew up, you know, you know, I say all the time, you know, I was that kid, you know, watching like Perry Mason and Matlock and Murder, She Wrote with my grandparents. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom read a lot of like Nancy Drew, and I discovered Encyclopedia Brown on my own. Mm-hmm. My mom introduced me like to Mary Higgins Clark, and then later on like Cozy. So like all of that, mm-hmm. you know, the more like traditional mystery was like has always been a big part of my life. And then since the beginning of the pandemic, I have been a huge fan of romance. particularly, which is another area where I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, like as a kid, like I didn't really see it, but now it's like there's so much diversity, there's so much like in so many fresh voices in contemporary romance in particular that I hadn't seen as a kid, so I probably didn't particularly care, that I'm really, really loving right now.
Yes, I agree. With romance, that's been there, it's been a, I think I would say the past like 4 or 5 years, there's been, you know, more and more fresh voices, like more representation, different types of romance, different types of character types, different types of bodies, different types of experiences. And so it's kind of like neat to see, like, you know, that there's different voices. You can be representative, you know, in books, you know. So what kind of books do you recommend our listeners to pick up?
So I actually wrote this because whenever I'm asked this question, like you would swear I've never read a book in my life. So thank you for sending it ahead of time so I could actually list these down before we started. Yeah. So, so again, as I said, I'm a big mystery and romance reader. So obviously that's what's going to be on my list. So first up, it's Like a Sister by Kelly Garrett. This is more like domestic suspense, traditional mystery. It still has amateur sleuth. I'm a big fan of amateur sleuth, which are just, you know, regular people who are motivated to solve a particular crime or mystery for whatever reason. And so Kelly Garrett is my mentor. She's a wonderful writer. I love her stuff. Her original series was like the Detective by Day, which is a little bit lighter, more humorous, kind of more similar to what I write. This is her latest that came out earlier this year, and it like blew me away. Again, I say this even knowing I'm her, you know, she's a friend of mine. Like the premise basically is a young woman finds out that her, a young Black woman, because this is important, finds out that her estranged younger half-sister is dead. Supposedly through a drug overdose, and her younger sister was like a celebrity, like a minor celebrity, like reality star, you know, daughter of a major like hip hop mogul. So, you know, so she was well known, you know, it kind of starts like, you know, speaking like I love when I get the first two lines tell you what the story really is and really grabs you. It's, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's like, I found out my sister was in town from Instagram. I found out she was dead, like through the New York Post or something like that. And it's basically the story of this woman who is trying to find justice for her sister, because people are so quick to write her off as like, oh, she was just this, you know, this wild reality star, this troublemaker, this recovering addict, you know, what a typical end for her. She's just like headline fodder, you know, and she thinks that her sister deserves better. And she doesn't really believe that this was an accidental overdose. And, you know, one of the reasons she does that is that the location where her body was found was not too far from her apartment. And this is, you know, she hasn't seen her sister in 2 years, and she has a realization that, oh my God, she died on her way to see me. What could that mean? You know, and that kind of like launches this whole investigation. So I'm very into stories about family, if you can't know by like by my books. So this is one of the things that drew me in. The next one, a little bit lighter, still in the mystery vein, but not quite a cozy, Under Lock and Skeleton Key by Gigi Pondian. This is like another friend of mine, but this is someone whose work I enjoyed even before I got to meet her. So it's always like, oh, wow. It's so nice when like the authors are just as lovely as they're writing. And this is for people who are fans of like classic locked room, impossible crime type mysteries, but with more modern and inclusive sensibilities. So this story, it follows, the main character, like the author, is a mixed Indian and like white ethnicity. Her family, she comes from like a family of magicians, and her career takes a sudden downturn, and so she comes home to join the family business, and her family business is building like secret staircases and hidden compartments in people's houses and things like that. And you know, one day while working on a particular project, a body falls out of the wall, a wall that hasn't been opened up in like 100 years, like based on like the structure and everything that they see there. But the body inside is very, very fresh and recent and somebody that she knows. And so, you know, the feels like, how did that body get in there? Why is that body there? Why is this particular person who has this strong connection to the protagonist, the one that's in the wall of this relative stranger, you know, it's just a job that she's working. And so mysteries in general are really hard to write. But reading her stories, it's always like, how did someone come up with this? How did she like plot this so intricately and have this all laid out? Like, I'm amazed by how the puzzle pieces fit in so well together. So if you like a good puzzle type mystery, I highly recommend that one. So Under Lock and Skeleton Key by Gigi Pondian. My next two are the romance, because as I mentioned, I've been really into a diverse romance lately. Take a Hint, Danny Brown by Talia Hibbert. Mm-hmm. So I feel like people tend to throw around the words like rom-com around, like basically every contemporary romance is magically a rom-com now, but Talia Hibbert is 1000% a rom-com writer. She is hilarious. Her writing is so funny and so sexy, but it also like touches on really heavy, serious subjects in many ways, particularly in her the Brown Sisters trilogy. This is Take a Hint, Danny Brown is book two in the and they're all fantastic, but this one's my favorite. It has my favorite fake dating trope. You know, it has a queer protagonist. It has like a cinnamon roll, but also somehow grumpy male love interest. So it checks a lot of boxes for me. So again, if it's content warnings at the beginning, you know, it does deal heavily with anxiety and grief. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it might not be for everybody at the moment, but if you are okay with those particular content warnings and you want, like, again, fun, sexy, but thoughtful, I don't know how she does it, you know, kind of a romp, highly recommended.
Yep.
Two more, sorry. It said 3 to 5. So like, I'm going to go to the maximum. I love screaming about books.
And I have to say, actually, Dee Brown has the best meet cue where she just like, she just runs him over, you know.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Like running over. I'm like, I guess we're gonna live together. I just run him over. So
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, Eve. Yeah. Next one is A Prince on Paper by Alyssa Cole. So it's part of her Reluctant Royals series. This was, I believe, the third book in the series, and it features like the couple. I would die for this couple. I love them so much, Jan Johan. Again, this is another book where it's funny. It's not as like haha laugh out loud as funny in my opinion as the Brown Sisters, but there's definitely a lot of humor while still dealing with some really deep personal traumas that both of the characters carry. Mm-hmm. But they're dealt with, I feel like, very thoughtfully, very meaningfully. You know, love doesn't magically heal them and make them better, right? They're humans that they still have these things that they have to continually work on. I love that the protagonist Nya is like a huge nerd that plays like dating sims, like that's my thing. You know, there was just a lot to love about that book. I didn't think I would really particularly care about like books featuring royalty and stuff like that, because that's not my jam in general, but Alyssa Cole makes me care. I love those books. And then my final recommendation kind of combines both my love of mystery and my love of romance, and I'm cheating by naming a series. It's the Lady Sherlock series by Sherry Thomas. Sherry Thomas is mostly a romance writer from what I've seen, particularly historical romance, but I think she has a couple of contemporaries. She has some fantasy. As far as I know, this is her only mystery, but she does, it's basically a gender bent take on Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. And she does like these, again, really well, intricately plot, and she's a pantser. I've heard her talk. So like, she doesn't plan these things to help, she just writes, which I'm just like, oh God, I would be furious if I didn't love her writing so much. Cause it's like, how do you write such well, like, you know, like pretty much airtight, well plotted, intricate puzzle mysteries and also have like this amazing like friends to lovers slow burn romance kind of in the oh, it's so good. It's the slow burn is so wonderful. It's that's one of my comfort reads. I've actually like my TBR is so high, but I'll when I feel the need for comfort, these are the books that like I'll comfort reread, just because like I want that sense of like, ah, oh, I know things are gonna work out in the end. This is great.
Yes, I feel you. I feel like honestly, I love the Lady Sherlock series so much. Like I was like, I had an interview with Sherry. She came last year, and I was like, "Are you gonna do write more?" And she's like, "Yes, I'm writing more." I'm like, "Okay, this is good news," because I'm like, I just want more of this world.
Same.
And yeah, I love like these are such a comfort read, and they're like they're just cozy and just help you, and the mysteries are like engaging, and they're like the mystery of family and just a mystery.
So, yeah, well, and like the mysteries are dark, and particularly in that first book, but at the same time, the overall like feeling and atmosphere does give you a sense of comfort. It does give you just like, I should be enjoying this with like a nice cup of tea and a cookie or something, you know, like it has that feeling even as you're reading, like, oh my god, what, you know, as she's trying to solve this. So yeah, I love that.
I listened to that book, actually. I would say the audiobook is excellent. So if you're an auditory listener, you know, the audiobook for Like a Sister is a really good one. So so awesome. So Mia, tell us where you can find you online.
So there is my website. It's just my full name, miapmanansala.com. I'm also mostly on Twitter and Instagram, occasionally on Facebook, but all my across all social media, my handle is the same. It's at MPM the writer. So my initials, MPM the writer.
Awesome. Thank you, Mia, for being on the show.
Thanks. Yeah. Oh, sorry. One more thing, just because I'm looking at the list to make sure I didn't forget something. Because one of the questions is like, what are you reading now? The last day of Pride Month, I need to throw this out there.
Yes.
Harlem Sunset by Nikesa Afia just came out, and it is a queer historical mystery featuring a Black queer woman in 1920s Harlem. It's a sequel to Dead Girls, which came out last year. It just came out. I'm so excited to read it. But I'm just like, in the interest of talking about representation and the last day of Pride Month, I was like, oh, let me get that in at the last minute. Sorry about that.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love this. I love Dead Girls. I like so good. So now you've mentioned, I'm like, there's another book center this year.
Yeah. As of this recording, it just came out this past Tuesday, which is why like it's what I'm currently reading. I you know, I haven't read it yet, but I'm just like, I know it's good, right? I know it's good.
Awesome. Thank you, Mia, for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Again, I love screaming about books, so happy to be here.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatyourwrenextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With LibraFem, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports the local community. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to squeeze more reading into your busy life. Listen with the free LibraFM app while you do your chores, walk the dog, relax at home. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen next, check out recommendations from people who know the best booksellers. The Watch Your Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on LibraFM for the price of one with your first month membership. Use code WATCHYOURNEXT. The offer is valid only for new members in Canada and the U.S. The Watch Your Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourwrenextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.